Dear mountain, how does one move you, shift you, but also elicit emotion? Make you cry because something was too beautiful or it hurt. A mountain has been moved before by monkey gods in search of healing herbs. Herbs that made themselves invisible because medicine is a medium, a pathway, a pill, a spillage, an image, itch. So the monkey god avulsed the whole mountain with his hands and flew it across the ocean. Sound waves traveled from those quieted at a distance. The tides that day didn't swell. The moon didn't cast its usual spell. Time itself became ill, patient. The sun refused to rise, and the darkness was not, and the darkness was not, not darkness. The atmosphere smelled sulfurous, but there were stars. And the mountain found itself moved, move, move. From my vantage point, I am divine or sublime. I'm a different god, a radiant god, irradiant, iridescent, you, ear, and error, encrypting me. The mountain embracing the god, a glitch in the story. At first, I fidget around the rocky parts of you that poke my metal sides, the crevices that jab my antenna. But we eventually make kin with one another. An other. My atomic lightness, balanced with your tectonic stability, enables us to stay floating in space. You are the omniscient narrator, the second and third person, the base and the peak. Peek into the future and I will be omnipresent too, thrumming in the very veins of the world, in the venomous veins of this verse. I am the hex, the vertex, the all-permeating, unreliable lover tarnished by air, contaminating your bones, depositions in your organs like foam bursting out from old machines, igniting the kind of passion that ends with a masterpiece obliterated. Blotted script, illegible, overwritten. The death of the letter. I spy. No one eye. E-Y-E, a palindrome, as if our vision of ourself boomerangs into our vision of ourself in an infinite loop of reflexivity. I. The self-affirmed, therefore the other, the subaltern, alternating between yes and no. Yes, and knowing that to be different is to be self. The third, two and one, and also the dialectical none. Zero. Oh. You have known what came before. forever a goddess, an elder, time has traveled through you. I have seen the jagged sublime, the rivers and the ranges magnificent. My surveillance is seepage, itch. You brood thunderstorms, avalanches, glacial surges to disgorge me from your body. I resisted, radiating photons, losing energy. Now you hold me close, even as I dissolve you just by being. Bodies entwined, one left nourished, the other depleted. Is this what bodies in such proximity feel like now? In order to be, but how can being have order? Being has odor, pungent, or does being have an aura? But to be is also not to be, that is to annihilate by amassing, a mass monstrous enough to decimate with no detection. You must not be. I am a witness. You. A lady appears with an aluminium tumbler, collecting what for her is sacred water. Inhalation, exhalation. Sipping it, then cupping it in both hands and spraying it over her forehead. A drop pierces her retina. She presses her eyes shut. Then opens them to see purple for a moment, blue. Then her irises turn an eerie grayish green, and the village thinks she is either a witch or a goddess, keeping her close enough at a distance. Little does she or anyone else know that they will die from praying. The river Ganga flows into the cracks in the earth as my rays enter the eyes and ring in the ears of its worshippers. Bombinating oblations, but to a different god, a radiant god. I am powered by plutonium, P.U. Named after Pluto, planet of personae non grata, the rejected star, the erratic, the other. If you are the swirling now, I am the future perfect. If you're the miracle, I'm the magician. You, oblivion, my potency is poison in the whole galaxy, a slow ooze, ooze, ooze. If you are a monument, then I am violent, slowly violent, not the slowness that is the state of rest or thankfulness, but the kind that feels like a fever in the heart. One that leaks into ritual, into belief. It dribbles in the liver, trickles into noses and nostrils and mouths, and erodes tongues and makes language sound squeaky and opaque. The spell without the spelling. Shattered, fragmented, in different meaning. No deviations, no discrepancies, no dormant desire. Words fail. A void. Avoid it. It is so slow, this violence. that it is almost inaudible and goes unnamed. Kicked and abandoned, sunk dead twice. In this half-life of 24,100 years, I have been dismembered, disremembered, disimagined, a slumber long and agitated, detonated atoms decaying, worn out by sleeping with my eyes open. I see a sparrow on the banks of the river. It looks like it has had a very long journey across the salt desert, all the way from the other side of the mountain where the land is parched and even the wandering lake has no pleasure in movement. It looks thin. It looks lacking. It looks like it has not fluttered or flocked in some time. It has not felt that easy drift in which it dreams up its life of freedom, in unison, its music of relations. It has not chirped in delight like when it senses the rains, the fire quashed, the past vanished. Everything an anomaly. Anomaly. The sparrow is lonely. It feels the heat of the bodies underground. It pushes back on the tyrannical, but it is small and it gets tired fast. It hasn't made anything or built anything in so long. No nest, no commune, no field. The sky today is a spectacle. Nuclear. The village witch walks past the sparrow, which is by now wheezing. As if her new eyes could see from the back of her head, she turns around and walks back toward the sparrow. She picks it up and cups it in her palms. It gasps. Transpires between them. A secret language, indecipherable because of the poetry of undiagnosable connectedness. I imagine them flying away, toxins passing through thresholds of togetherness, membranes of mucus metastasizing across the sky. Isotopes of interdependence. It is still twilight. The moon shrivels. The stars, like particles in the air, are rising everywhere and configuring in new constellations. The woman's eyes glimmer with the clarity of glacial water. She goes to retrieve the herbs growing at the base of the mountain. They vibrate. She feeds the sparrow and tucks a little bit onto the roof of her own mouth, its remedies flowing into her as she swallows. The sparrow flutters, flies. The woman has tears. You have this feeling, but you don't know where it is located or how it comes to you. Something like loss, marking our cosmic end. With love, the spy.